Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films The Drama, Send Help, and Crime 101.
I'd like to talk about a movie called The Drama, which is unfortunately not as dramatic as I had hoped. It's an interesting title for a movie, that's for sure. And it's kind of interesting. It was written and directed by Christopher Borgli, and it has a kind of an unusual premise. There's been a lot of talk anticipating this movie opening that it had this big twist. Well, as near as I can figure out, the big twist comes very early in the film, so I don't think it's really a twist at all. It's more a premise. But here's what the premise is. There's a young couple. They are about to get married, and that's very nice, and they seem to be very happy with each other. They are Emma and Charlie. Emma played by Zendaya, and Charlie played by Robert Pattinson. And they are just out having some drinks with some friends of theirs. And somehow or other, the conversation turns around to people talking about what's the worst thing you ever did. So one person says, oh, the worst thing I ever did was to cheat on my boyfriend. And another person says, oh, the worst thing I ever did is that thing. However, Emma then decides to talk. And actually, she's sort of pressured into it, but she does. And she talks about how when she was a teenager, she actually once sort of mapped out a school shooting that she would do using her father's rifle. She never did it. And when she looks back on it, she finds it amazing that she ever could have even dreamed of such a thing. But she really did. And apparently she made sort of a video about it and that sort of thing. So this totally shocks everybody. Here they are talking about the worst thing you've ever done, and she talks about the worst thing she ever did, and it turns out to be pretty bad. And people are absolutely shocked by this, and that is what sets the whole rest of the movie in motion. There is drama of various kinds with various friends of Charlie and Emma. There is definitely drama between Charlie and Emma. He starts to wonder if he wants to go through with this marriage at all. Other people start to wonder how he could go through with this marriage, and everybody really seems to be condemning Emma for this thing that really happened when she was a teenager and actually never happened at all. So that's what this movie is about. I have to say that there's another movie that's floating around these days called Our Hero Balthazar, which also deals with school shooting and not in a totally tragic way, which is a million times better than The Drama. I suggest seeking that one out. The Drama is kind of an interesting movie, partly because it has such a strange premise and partly because it deals with certainly a very, very timely topic. My gosh, I guess there can't be too much intelligent and thoughtful and insightful discussion of school shooting and mass shootings of all different kinds of things. So, you know, it's good that that's in the air. There's actually an opera, which I've seen online and I'm about to see live at the Metropolitan Opera by a very, very great composer named Cara Sorayo that deals with a school shooting. And it's a brilliant piece of work, I have to say. So, you know, there's a lot of thoughtful artists who are dealing with this subject nowadays. The Drama is not all that successful an attempt. It deals mainly with the psychological tensions, the various kind of tragicomic, often with sort of a wry or almost a kind of sardonic humorous touch to these tensions among the various friends and also to the tensions between Charlie and Emma. I wish it were a more focused movie. I wish it had zoomed in more precisely on its actual subject matter instead of dividing its attention between the idea of someone once having contemplated a school shooting and then all these just basically psychological consequences that erupt among friends and fiancés years later. It just doesn't really work out all that well, I think. And I just wish, again, it had been more crisp, more focused, more exact in the way it deals with these things. Maybe deal with the sort of tensions among the friends and the fiancés more directly, or maybe dealt with the consequences of having once planned a school shooting and then having gotten over that and now being a mature person and, you know, just looking on this as something weird and unfortunate and unhappy that happened in your past. This movie divides the tension between the two. It basically uses the idea of a school shooting as an excuse for a sort of a dark comedy about relationships among friends and lovers. So again, that's the reason I don't think it quite works. works. Now, Zendaya is very good as Emma. Robert Pattinson is very good as Charlie. The cast has other good people in it too. Anna Baryshnikov, for example, just, you know, good people in the cast. It's a well-done movie. It's a well-made movie. It's a nicely worked out movie. But I just think the premise doesn't really add up to what it should add up to. It's not quite as worthwhile as it should be. Also, I kind of wish the movie were more just straightforward, dramatic, instead of trying to be a lot of the time a sort of a wry, offbeat comedy. So, very mixed review from me for the drama. It doesn't quite make it, I'm afraid. It just isn't enough of a drama. Next movie, we now turn to the horror realm. There's just an endless supply of horror movies, aren't there? Well, anyway, Send Help, which is the new movie by Sam Raimi. He has made about 1,000 horror movies over the years. That's his specialty. That's what he does. And Send Help is the latest one. And it, too, has a kind of an interesting premise. And I have to say, I like the first part of it more than I like the rest of it. But here's how Send Help goes. We have a young woman whose name is Linda Liddle, and she is played by Rachel McAdams. And she works for a company, a very big company, and she is really, really expecting to be made a vice president any minute now. That's been promised to her by the old guy who ran the company. Unfortunately, the old guy who ran the company just died, and now his son has taken over the company instead. And he is really obnoxious. We can tell that right away. All he really cares about in an employee is, will you go golfing with me, and will you talk man talk with me, and stuff like that. He's a real macho sort of an exec. So, okay. There it is, and she is expecting to be made vice president, but wouldn't you know, the new boss of the company isn't going to allow that to happen. He's going to choose somebody else, his golfing buddy, instead, even though the golfing buddy has only been there for 6 months, and our main character has been there for years. Okay, so she's very, very unhappy about this, and there's all kinds of tension between her and the boss. Then, for some reason, and this is really not clear why, the boss suddenly invites Linda, because she's great at her job, by the way, to be part of a trip to Thailand on the company jet, where they're going to do some big deal negotiating, and she can be there to help out with the numbers. So there they are on the company jet. They run into a horrible storm. The jet crashes somewhere in the Gulf of Thailand in the middle of nowhere, and it's unclear whether they will ever be rescued. And there are two survivors, and guess who they are? Linda and the obnoxious boss. And that's when the second part of the movie kicks in, which is most of the movie, and which is the part that I found the least convincing. So what happens is that the boss is wounded. So Linda really has to step in and help out. And interestingly, one of her life ambitions is to someday be a contestant on The Survivor. So she has studied outdoor lore. And so there she is, all equipped to become a kind of female Robinson Crusoe on this really very nice island. It has all kinds of resources, although it just doesn't have much in the way of people. So there it is. She builds lean-tos. She builds fires. She finds the food you can eat. She finds the dangerous areas to go to and the nice areas to go to. She just takes care of everything. She's a real take-charge person, and she's a really competent person. And she does all these wonderful things so that life becomes, you could almost call it, comfortable for these two. In the meanwhile, the boss, and this is what I found least convincing about the whole movie, he never, ever, ever becomes even a halfway decent person. All he does is try to boss her. When she doesn't do something promptly enough for him, he says, oh, when we get back, you are so fired from your job. You know, things like that. My gosh, this guy is completely dependent on this woman, and he just keeps treating her like an object. Well, I found it very implausible. I know there are many obnoxious and sexist and male chauvinist people in the world, but they're not quite that bad. So I found all that very, very implausible. And of course, tensions and conflicts and various kinds of eruptions happen between these two characters for the whole rest of the movie. There are some surprising twists along the way, which I won't reveal. There's some real gore in the movie every once in a while. My gosh, there's a scene when Linda has to hunt down a wild boar because, first of all, the boar could be dangerous. And secondly, because they desperately need some meat to eat. And my gosh, she does that too. She sharpens a spear, she goes out and she hunts this boar and she kills it, but it is a very, very bloody scene. And I am sure that this is an animatronic animal, not a real animal, but it's still pretty harrowing to look at and really, really goring. So there's a some things like that in the movie. You know, it's a horror movie. You got to get in some shares of blood and various kinds of explicit body horror in it. But mainly what we have is the psychological battle between Linda and her boss and her real take charge personality, who is capable of doing everything, and the boss, who is exactly the opposite and appears to be capable of doing nothing. Even when he becomes mobile again, he really just he can't do anything. He's just not a very capable person when he's outside the office, and it's not even clear that he's very capable there. So I found Send Help, interesting title, I think, for a movie, because they do need help. I found it just, a reasonably okay action movie in a horror film kind of a way, but psychologically, and a large part of it is psychological horror, really, really, really implausible. One more little twist I'll mention, because it's not one of these twists that changes the whole movie. It happens fairly early on when they're on the island. Linda actually sees a boat that she could signal for help, and she decides not to. And of course, the boss isn't there at that moment, so he can't argue with her about this. But she's enjoying this. She wanted to be a contestant on The Survivor. She loves taking care of herself and this other guy out there in the middle of nowhere on this island where she can do everything, and the guy who's with her can't do anything, and she's really the boss, even though he keeps thinking he's the boss. So that's kind of interesting too. But basically, I found Send Help to be just implausible, gratuitous gore here and there. Not a very good movie, not a very good horror movie. Not the worst I've ever seen, but even Sam Raimi, who is, by the way, not one of my favorite filmmakers, even he can do better. Finally, today, one more movie with a lot of action in it, Crime 101, directed and co-written by Bart Layton. This is a movie, you guessed it, it's all about crime. It's not a how-to movie, even though it's called Crime 101. It's called Crime 101 because it deals with a whole series of very big robberies that have taken place, always near US Route 101, which means that the person, whoever it is, can pull off the big heist and then make a quick, speedy getaway going down Route 101. Well, the thing about this robber who's been doing all these things here, his name is Mike, we meet him very early in the film, is that he never, ever commits any violence, and he never, ever leaves any kind of evidence, including DNA. He's really careful, and in his own way, he appears to be sort of humane. Again, never any violence. So at the beginning of the movie, he steals this multi-million-dollar load of diamonds, and he gets actually hit by a bullet. Not hit severely, but he gets hit by a bullet. And therefore, he calls off his next robbery that he has planned. But one of his associates in this crime operation doesn't want to give up that next job, so hires a young thief instead. And the young thief is the opposite of Mike. The young thief is horribly violent and loves committing violence and is just very gratuitous about violence. So you have these two robbers, the one who never does violence, the one who loves doing violence. Then our other really main character, a detective. All this is in Los Angeles. And this detective, played, by the way, beautifully by Mark Ruffalo, is convinced that all these robberies are being committed by one person, even though his name is Lou, even though his superiors don't think so. They think that it's all just a bunch of isolated heists and that it's just a coincidence that they all happen to be near Route 101. So we have this duel going on between Mike the robber and Lou the detective. Then Mike meets a stranger, a woman, after a minor car accident, and then he starts dating her. And then we have another character who is Lou's wife, who he's estranged from. And then we have another character who runs a yoga class and who is just like the character I was talking about in Send Help, who is really being dissed in her job and not given a promotion that she deserves and that she has earned. And so she decides that she's going to start a life of crime herself. Now, all this sounds kind of complicated. Yes, Crime 101 is kind of a complicated movie. The plot has a lot of twists and turns, plots and subplots, this kind of thing, stories and substories, and you have to really pay attention to keep track of it all. And I'm not really sure it's worth paying all that much attention. A lot of people have talked about this movie as being heavily influenced by Michael Mann's movie Heat from back in the 1980s. Heat is not one of my favorite movies, so a movie influenced by it is not necessarily going to be one of my favorite movies. And I can't say that Crime 101 made a very deep impression on me. It's an okay heist movie, basically, with a whole lot of characters and a whole lot of subplots. It has not done well at the box office, gotten good reviews, not sold many tickets, probably because it is so doggone complicated. Go see it if you want to see a good, complicated heist movie that'll keep you occupied maybe for a while and get your brain working. But really great robbery movie, great crime movie. I can't say it's that. So that's my very mixed story about this week's action and crime movies.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films, the drama, Send Help, and Crime 101.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.